welcome back to another edition of the Mohawk Madness. And again with me tonight is Kevin.
Hi everyone.
Alright, apologies for last week. We didn't do a session. It's due to Kevin, who is busy preparing mentally for his Hewitt training. Okay, well, what is this, you know, training all about?
Okay, Hewitt is actually, it stands for, Hewitt is H-U-E-T, it stands for Helicopter Underwater Escape Training. Basically, this training is just to teach you on how to escape from a helicopter if, you know, you have an accident and the helicopter falls into the water. So it's actually, yeah. So it's actually helicopter underwater escape.
Okay, so basically you were in a helicopter?
When we didn't use the helicopter, we used a simulator. It's like a box that looks like a helicopter with seats on it, seats in it, and then there's seat belts, and there's windows and doors and emergencies, escapes and all that.
Okay, anybody died or drowned or not during this training?
No. I don't. They assured us, you know, over and over again during the trainings and you know, before the training, during the training, they said that it's going to be safe, and you know, they have never had any accidents before because they're professional. So yeah, so no one drowned.
Okay, so yeah, tell us about, you know, what you guys have to do first, or you know, things like that.
Okay, actually, what I took, Hewitt is only, I took TBOSIET, which is T-B-O-S-I-E-T, TBOSIET, stands for Tropical, Tropical something, Tropical Basic, let me just find it out. Okay, it says Tropical Basic Offshore Safety Inductions and Emergency Training, so Hewitt is actually part of it. You know, the whole training is for 2 days. The first, in this TBOSIET training, we had how to fight fires, you know, how to put out a fire, and how do you escape from a fire if you have, you know, building under fire, a building, you know, caught fire or something like that. So how do you escape? And then they taught us what is the different drills and, you know, emergency alarms and all that. And what else? Part of the training as well, we had how to get onto the lifeboat because I'm going offshore. So those are the things that are very important. You need to know how to get to the lifeboat in case of emergency, because an oil rig, they can just explode, you know, any accident can happen, so you need to know how to escape. We also learned resuscitation, CPR, and the last part was Hewitt.
Oh, so that's the most important part or the most interesting part?
I think the most interesting part would be the Hewitt, because there's Hewitt and there's sea survival. Sea survival is actually after, you know, you escape from the oil rig or escape from the helicopter, then you need to get onto a raft, a safety raft, and you need to know how how to survive in that safety raft, and wait for people to come and save you. So that's part of the training as well. So the important, the interesting part was the Hewitt, the helicopter one, and the sea survival because of the water.
Okay, so what are the, you know, the simulation training? You mentioned about simulation training. So what did you do first?
Before we went into the water, into the pool, where we had the Hewitt, the practical Hewitt, we had to go through the theory. He, you know, go through slides and notes and all that. So after that, we went to the pool. We had about four type of situations that we need to go through. First one is, if the helicopter falls into the water and it floats, how do you escape? And then the second one is, helicopter falls into the water and it submerged, which is it goes underwater, it sinks. And then the third one is, helicopter falls into the water, it sinks and it flips.
Well, so you do all three trainings, is it?
Yeah, and the fourth one would be the fourth one would be the same with the third one. It flips, but without the instruction from the trainer. So the first three we had instruction. The instructor would say what you need to do. When the helicopter hits the water, and then he will say brace, 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 and then you need to protect your face, and then after that, you need to reorientate your hand, and you have to look to your escape route, because they believe that you would always go to where you're looking at, so you have to look at the escape, no matter what.
Okay, if there's somebody,
so you have to there's nothing, because we sit on, besides the window. So if there's somebody in front of you, you need to wait until that guy goes out first, and then you follow him.
Oh, if the guy's dead?
If the guy's dead, then you have to move him away, and you have to get out.
Okay, now try explaining the one of your training, the one you are actually in underwater experience. How was it?
Oh, okay. So we are. We sat in that little box, a helicopter we'll call it from now on, and then we have to strap ourselves with the safety belt. Yeah, and then this helicopter, it's attached to a crane, so they lower it down, and then when it hits the water, the instructor will say brace, brace, brace. Actually, this is what the pilot would do. If before that, it would say there's an emergency, the helicopter needs to go down, then we have to chuck away all the things that, like glasses or your backpack or something like that, the things that will weigh you down. So we have to chuck that down. Then when you hit the water, it will say brace, brace, brace. You have to protect your face and all that. And then if it sinks, when the water comes up your chest, you have to inhale to get to fill your lung, right? Then after that, when you're fully submerged, by the way, you have to wait for the propellers, the rotors,
yep,
to stop spinning, because if that doesn't stop spinning, if you jump out from the helicopter, you will kill yourself. So that's the most important thing. You have to wait until the helicopters, the rotors start spinning. And then, because when it hits the water, it will automatically break, because it's not made of metal. It's some kind of reinforced silicone or something, some material, like, what do you call it? The material they use to make boat.
Oh.
Yeah, so the rotors will break, and then, then after that, you have to know how to make your way out. So there's an emergency escape. You have to pull the lever, or either you have to, push the window out underwater.
Okay, so how interesting, your experience. Like, was the whole thing filled with water, or just partially with water, or how?
It's the whole thing filled with water, because that's the most important thing. If it doesn't hold, if it's not filled with water, you can still escape, because it's easier. Because they just want to simulate the worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the underwater one, the fully submerged one, was the most terrifying. So before that, the instructor told me that you don't have to be afraid, even though you don't know how to swim.
Uh-huh.
Our body is we automatically float. So it's our body is very buoyant.
Okay.
And yeah, so the first time I went in, when the helicopter was all covered with water and I was underwater, I panicked. then I released my safety belt before opening the windows. And then when you release your safety belt, your body automatically floats.
Uh-huh.
And then I got caught at the roof. Yeah.
Okay.
So the important thing is you have to look the way you're going out. So you have to focus on the exit. You don't look anywhere else, because if you focus there, that's the, what they call it, most probably you will go that way. You don't go, if you look at some, you know, if you look one way, you don't go the other way, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the most important thing. You have to look that to the exit. And then before releasing your safety belt, you have to open the exit so that there's a way for you to come out. Then after that, when it's open, then you release your safety belt and swim out.
Okay, so did you have to restart your whole training because of releasing the belt, or how?
Yes, we were divided into two groups. I was in group one, and then he changed me to group two, because we take turns, group one first and then group two. And then I went, you know, with group one, we did that, and then after that I did something wrong, and then he put me into group two. So we have to do it again. I had to do it again. The other guys didn't. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, okay, were you guys wearing goggles or anything like that?
No goggles, no life jackets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no goggles, no life jackets. Only helmet. The reason why we wore the helmets because we don't want to hit our head.
Mm-hmm.
But in the real thing, in the real life, we won't have any helmet either.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. So okay, what do you feel like? You know, when you panic that time, right? Did you see any flashes of your life just went past you, or you?
No, it's really weird. Because the water, because it's tropical. There's two type of training just now.
Uh-huh.
There's BOSEIT, which is basic offshore safety induction,
mm-hmm.
and then there's tropical basic offshore. So I took the tropical basic offshore because Australian water is not that cold. It's tropical, so the temperature is quite warm. Yeah, so they. So when I went into the water, I opened my eyes. It's very blur.
Oh.
But you can still see the glimpse of your exit and all that. So that's the most important thing. You have to know where is your exit. You have to, you know, you have to save your life and get the hell out of there. Yeah.
Every man for themselves, lah.
Sorry?
Every man for themselves, is it?
Yes, correct.
Correct. So,
I don't think there's time for you to look after other people.
Okay. So let's say, okay, all right, I'm sitting next to you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, I'm in your way, and then I can't find the exit or anything like that.
Yeah.
What do you do?
For people that doesn't have Hewitt training, they would not be given. They will not be allowed to sit in near the window.
Ah, okay. So, yes. So you'll be sitting there first, lah.
Yeah. So the, you know, people with Hewitt certification, they are given priority to sit in the windows. You know, next to the window or next to the exit, because they know what to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say what happened if let's say you were to panic again once again.
No, I don't think so. The training really gave confidence.
Okay.
After the third time, there's four time we did it. Third time we did it was already, we know what to do already. It's just different situation. They flipped the whole helicopter, so you're upside down. And then when you're upside down, you know, the pressure is different.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel it from, you know, your ears and your nose and all that. So yeah.
So it's still same lah. You don't release the safety belt first. But
still the same, because once you release your safety belt and you don't have any exit to go out, you are basically you're gonna get caught in that thing, and then it's basically their sentence. Yeah, so you have to know, you have to make your way out, exit, open an exit so that you can get out. Then you release the seatbelt. Because if you release it too early, your body will float.
I see.
Yeah. So the seatbelts keep you held until you have secured an exit, then get the hell out there. Yeah.
So what other things did you did?
What other things did I do? We did was the sea survival. After the humid, we had to do the sea survival. Mm-hmm. Sea survival is we put on our life jacket, and then we had to. They said that when you are jumping off a platform, you should find the lowest platform you can find to jump. You don't have to jump from. If you can still find the lowest path, just go lowest platform. Go to the lowest platform and jump off. Don't be a hero and jump off from a high platform. Yeah, so we did that. We had the 1 meter platform, so we had our life jacket on. And then before jumping off, we have to, cover, pinch our nose and cover our mouth.
Okay.
And then wrap the other hands on top of your hand that you are on. Okay, you have, for example, you have your right hand pinching your nose, right? That's your pointers and your thumb, right?
Yep.
Then you have the other three fingers to cover your mouth. You can imagine that.
Okay.
And then the other hand, you have to cover on top of your hand, and on your right hand, and then grab on your life jacket.
Oh, any reason for that?
It's just to secure, your nose, or because what happened? The jacket that we use is very buoyant type.
Okay.
If you wear the jacket and you go into the water, you will never sink.
All right.
But the thing is, the reason why you have to hold your jacket is because if you are jumping off somewhere higher, when you hit the water, the jacket will hit your jaw, and then your neck might snap, something like that, you know what I mean? so you have to hold it very securely, then you have to jump off the water. And then while you're in the water, you have to minimize the area of your body.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain way you can, certain positions that you need to do so that, because the thing is, the one thing that people worries about is hype, getting too cold, going into hyperthermia. Uh-huh. Have you heard of that?
Yep.
Actually, because we're very buoyant, so it's very hard for us to drown unless we unless of the temperature.
Oh,
yeah. Unless our body of the temperature changes, then we have a shock, and then our muscle doesn't work, and then we get disoriented. Then that's where you would drown. Now, if you're perfectly fine, it's very hard for you to drown. As long as you fill your lungs with air, you will float, or not get eaten by sharks.
Okay, so how does the shark comes into this?
Hopefully there's no sharks. Sharks were only attracted by a lot of splashing.
Okay.
Or if you have cuts, then they will get attracted by that because they can smell blood and splashes, movement and all that. Yeah. So when you are in the water, you have to minimize your area, so you have to bend your knees.
Okay.
Yep, and then it's what do you call it? It's like in sitting position, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
You mean become a cannibal, is it?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. The cannonball. Yeah, something like that. So that if you minimize your area, the heat of your body is not, you know, because water will cool your bodies down, and if you provide enough area, the heat will go off faster. So you have to, yeah, you have to, yeah, make it to a cannonball. Now, if you have a lot of people jumping in with you, then you have to make a hurdle so that you can, you know, maintain the body temperatures and the heat. And also, it can protect you from shark because the bigger the thing is, it's less unlikely the shark will come and attack you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And for moral support as well. So after that, we jump into the water. We have to swim to the life raft. Yep. And then climbing, you know, into the life raft. And then, yeah. They said that the first thing you need to do is climb into the raft and then read the safety booklet.
You mean you have to jump into the raft and then read a book there?
Climb, yeah. Climb into the raft and then find the what do you call the first aid kit or something like that in the raft, because every raft has been inflated. Then we have it will have the safety kit where you find your like a what do you call it, a flare, yeah, and then pills,
okay,
for seasick pills, something like that, all other goodies which I don't remember. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was interesting because it's not that easy. You know, you're in the water, and then you have to climb up the raft. If you're not fit, it's really really hard to do.
So did the raft topple over when you try climbing on top of it?
No, because the raft is quite stable, and it has it's a good raft actually. If you it's not like the like the really cheapo kind of. No, it's a really good raft. It has a canopy. You can put it on, or you can, you know, cover yourself. It has it's all equipped in there.
All right.
Yeah. So it was good.
Okay. So let's say if you know. All right, you say, like, you know, this is every man for himself, and, you know, if let's say there's a weaker person behind you swim, do you swim back to him or do you go to the raft first?
You go to the raft first. You cannot. You go to the raft first. That person has to swim by himself. And then if you're in the raft, you can actually move the raft. There's a paddle in there. You can actually, you know, move the raft towards those weaker guys and then pull them up. There's also anchor or things. I don't know what it's called. It's like a hood, you know?
Yeah.
Then you throw it in the water, and then when you pull it, the raft will go with it. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you can use that to move the raft towards the weaker swimmer.
Oh, okay. So what happened if the, you know, halfway there the guy fall into get a shock and, you know, then died?
Yeah, if he falls into the body temperature falls and he goes into hyperthermia, because hyperthermia you're still alive, so you have to save the poor guy. Yeah. So what you do is you have to paddle your raft towards that guy and then pull him up. Yeah. And then once he's in the raft, you have in that raft you will have the blanket, the heat blanket, or what we call it. Cover him with that, and then stay with him so that you can maintain body temperature. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you die halfway, what do you do?
If he dies, then if he dies, it's really up to the people on the raft. You can either ditch him, or if you want the dead body to be, you know, on the raft with you, that's really entirely up to you, up to the people on the raft.
Okay.
But a lot of people say that it's bad omen to have a dead body in the raft.
Okay.
So it's really up to you. If you think that it's a bad omen, then ditch him, throw him in the sea, because the dead body will rot, and then you don't want, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't want. You already seasick in the raft. You don't want to get any sicker because of the smell and everything. Yeah.
Oh.
Then we made this joke. If we were ever to, you know, have a dead body in the raft, then we'll throw the dead body once we see, you know, or there's a shark attacking us, then we'll throw it. So that the shark will eat the body instead of us. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Before that, if you want, you have to take his belongings.
Oh, okay. Why?
Yeah. You have to collect his belongings so that
rob them, is it?
No, it's not robbing them. You have to take the belongings, if, you know, because he's dead. The belonging, when you you can give it to the family afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like if you have wallets and everything, you can, you know, take the wallet and again, give it to the family afterwards and tell them, yeah, accidents, something like that. Yeah.
So if the guy have an iPhone, you just say it's dropped in the sea and you can't find it, lah.
we didn't went into that far. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So what else happened?
What else happened? The indoor training was not bad as well. Especially the CPR. I've never done CPR before, but we didn't do it on the real person.
Mm-hmm.
We did it on a dummy, a mannequin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they have a very proper tools. Even the mannequin, you can change the face. Yeah, so you can change the face. It's cleaner and everything, and all that.
Okay. So you guys, no rescue training or anything like that, is it?
No, this is not the rescue. It's not Baywatch.
Okay.
Yeah. This training wasn't meant to rescue other people. It's to save yourself.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, but you didn't go rescue any dummies or anything like that.
Oh yeah, we did rescue dummy in the sea survival. They threw a dummy in there, and then they just so we basically have to paddle the raft towards that dummy. And then pull them up.
Oh.
And then while we pull them up, the instructor said, oh, he went into hypothermia, then what you do? So, yeah, we have to... the guy has to be horizontal or something like that. I don't remember. It was all very, very, very blurred to me. Yeah.
My goodness, man.
Yeah. Oh, we also learned how to light a flare to attract attentions. Ooh. That was fun. Yeah.
Each of you get a flare, is it?
Sorry?
Each of you get a flare?
No, we didn't. Just one person. So,
oh.
Yeah. Because we cannot light a flare too much, we don't want to get, you know, send wrong signal to other people.
Oh, yeah. You guys are actually in the open sea when all this happened?
Where we did the flare, it was still indoor, so that was before we went to the pool.
Oh, okay.
There's no sea involved, actually. Only the lifeboat. The lifeboat training.
Oh, lifeboat?
Yeah, the lifeboat.
You guys need the sea?
Because the training center is by the sea. It's, what do you call it? It's together with all the... It's in the industrial area, and then... like all the docks and all that.
Oh.
So it's very, very close to the docks. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Anything else, you know, you would like to add on?
Anything I would like to add on? Nothing much. Because, if you are going offshore,
okay.
Go for it. Go for the training. It's really fun.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, at least you know what to do. Worst case scenarios. If you were on the helicopter,
uh-huh.
If you ever hop on a helicopter and then there's accidents in the helicopter, you know what to do. It's really, really good. So you just don't, die for nothing.
So they told you most of the time, if an helicopter crash into this water, it won't
It's
explode
very
anything, right?
unlikely. It's very, very, very unlikely. The percentage, they said before they started the second day training, we had to go through the theory part of the helicopter. The instructor said it's very, very unlikely. We're just doing this for the worst case scenario, so that you know what to do.
So
It's not that out of 5 helicopter trip, 4 will go down. No. It's very safe now. The helicopter is very safe. So the way they design the helicopter.
okay. All right, that makes me feel better a bit.
Yeah. But one thing, if you want to go for that training, because I'm not a good swimmer, so that's like that's not good on me actually. But if you want to go for the training, go for it. Learn how to swim. It will be easier.
But I mean, you managed to survive without swimming, man, so it's not that hard.
It's really because I know a little bit of how to, a little bit of swimming, so it was all right. But I'm still scared of the water, especially when you're underwater. And then yeah. And then you're not sure whether you can float or not. So that's the thing. So if you know how to swim, you at least that the fear on the water is take is you no longer have the fear of water. It's just the situation, the very tense situation and disorientation.
Okay. All right. So yeah, so that's pretty much about it, I think.
What do you find it? Do you find it interesting?
Yeah. I wonder how it feels like, being held in the helicopter upside down and all that.
Oh yeah, it's scary. The whole body turns. It's like upside down.
So it's like, water goes into your head first and all that, right?
No, it's not flipped. It's not like that. It goes into the water, fully submerged, and then it flips.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's
So
still the water still, touches your chest and then your mouth and then your nose and then your head, right? So you stop breathing. You have to hold your breath. And then after that, they flip the whole helicopter. Then you started to go upside down.
so how fast, how long did it took for one session like that?
For one section, it's very fast. A few seconds, I guess. Few
Ah, okay.
seconds, because I think maximum breath a human can hold is about 10 seconds, 10 or more. Not more than 15, I guess. 15 seconds. So it's very quick. It's very quick. And then you sort of know when to get out from the helicopter. Yeah, as long as you feel that you're too long in the water, you have to get out. Then you have to get out. The instructors say, wait until the rotor stops spinning, or you no longer hear any sound of the rotor. When if it flips, you have to wait until the helicopter settles.
Wow, then how long can you hold your breath inside like
Yeah,
that leh?
yeah. So that's actually on the book. You don't have to follow that actually. As long as you can save your ass out of it, it's fine. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that's pretty much about wet training, huh?
Your training, yeah. Do you have any more questions?
Nah, I think I'm good.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, so yeah, thanks again, Kevin, for
No problem.
So yeah, well, it's about 30 minutes,
Oh,
so
that's good. That's
yeah.
too bad.
So yeah, what else should we do now?
I don't know.
Oh, crap. Hang on, let me see if I can call. I'm gonna call Luke on it.
Luke,
Yes.
what is he doing now?
I think he's in Shah Alam.
Okay, doing what his brother did, is it?
I think he's going to pharmacies, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can pick up the sound of the water, huh? I'm
yeah.
so proud of my Mac.
The person you called is unavailable. Please.
Okay, yeah.
No luck.
No luck. Oh well. So I guess we just end here tonight. Thank you again, Kevin, for coming in.
No worries.
Right, so you guys next time have any question for him about this red turning, you can just leave a comment or anything like that. We'll get back to you, you know, when our next shows.
Yeah.
Alright. Good night, Malaysia.
Good night.